Chapter 20. It was one Thursday evening in the latter part of November, about a week after Blueskin's appearance off the Capes, and while the one subject of talk was of the pirates being in Indian River Inlet. The air was still and wintry. A sudden cold snap had set in, and skims of ice had formed over puddles in the road. The smoke from the chimneys rose straight in the quiet air and voices sounded loud, as they do in frosty weather. Hiram White sat by the dim light of a tallow dip, poring laboriously over some account books. It was not quite 7 o'clock, and he never started for Billy Martin's before that hour. As he ran his finger slowly and hesitatingly down the column of figures, he heard the kitchen door beyond open and shut, the noise of footsteps crossing the floor, and the scraping of a chair dragged forward to the hearth. Then came the sound of a basket of corn cobs being emptied on the smoldering blaze, and then the snapping and crackling of the reanimated fire. Hiram thought nothing of all this, excepting, in a dim sort of way, that it was Bob, the Negro mill hand, or old Black Dinah, the housekeeper, and so went on with his calculations. At last he closed the books with a snap, and, smoothing down his hair, arose, took up the candle, and passed out of the room into the kitchen beyond. A man was sitting in front of the corncob fire that flamed and blazed in the great, gaping, sooty fireplace. A rough overcoat was flung over the chair behind him, and his hands were spread out to the roaring warmth. At the sound of the lifted latch, and of Hiram's entrance he turned his head, and when Hiram saw his face he stood suddenly still, as though turned to stone. The face, marvelously altered and changed as it was the face of his stepbrother, Levi West. He was not dead. He had come home again. For a time not a sound broke the dead, unbroken silence excepting the crackling of the blaze in the fireplace, and the sharp ticking of the tall clock in the corner. The one face, dull and stolid, with the light of the candle shining upward over its lumpy features, looked fixedly, immovably, stonily at the other, sharp, shrewd, cunning, the red wavering light of the blaze shining upon the high cheekbones, cutting sharp on the nose and twinkling in the glassy turn of the black, rat-like eyes. Then suddenly that face cracked, broadened, spread to a grin. "I have come back again, hi," said Levi, and at the sound of the words the speechless spell was broken. Hiram answered never a word, but he walked to the fireplace, set the candle down upon the moldy mantel shelf among the boxes and bottles, and, drawing forward a chair upon the other side of the hearth, sat down. His dull little eyes never moved from his stepbrother's face. There was no curiosity in his expression, no surprise, no wonder. The heavy underlip dropped a little farther open and there was more than usual of dull, expressionless stupidity upon the lumpish face. But that was all. As was said, the face upon which he looked was strangely, marvelously changed from what it had been when he had last seen it 9 years before, and, though it was still the face of Levi West, it was a very different Levi West than the shiftless ne'er-do-well who had run away to sea in the Brazilian brig that long time ago. That Levi West had been a rough, careless, happy-go-lucky fellow, thoughtless and selfish, but with nothing essentially evil or sinister in his nature. The Levi West, that now sat in a rush-bottom chair at the other side of the fireplace, had that stamped upon his front that might be both evil and sinister. His swart complexion was tanned to an Indian copper. One side of his face was a curious discoloration in the skin and a long, crooked, cruel scar that ran diagonally across forehead and temple and cheek in a white, jagged seam. This discoloration was of a livid blue, about the tint of a tattoo mark. It made a patch the size of a man's hand, lying across the cheek and the side of the neck. Hiram could not keep his eyes from this mark, and the white scar cutting across it. There was an odd sort of incongruity in Levi's dress. A pair of heavy gold earrings, and a dirty red handkerchief knotted loosely around his neck, beneath an open collar, displaying to its full length the lean, sinewy throat with its bony Adam's apple, gave to his costume somewhat the smack of a sailor. He wore a coat that had once been of fine plum color, now stained and faded, too small for his lean length, and furbished with tarnished lace. Dirty cambric cuffs hung at his wrists, and on his fingers were half a dozen and more rings, set with stones that shone, and glistened, and twinkled in the light of the fire. The hair at either temple was twisted into a Spanish curl, plastered flat to the cheek, and a plaited queue hung halfway down his back. Hiram, speaking never a word, sat motionless, his dull little eyes traveling slowly up and down and around his stepbrother's person. Levi did not seem to notice his scrutiny, leaning forward, now with his palms spread out to the grateful warmth, now rubbing them slowly together. But at last he suddenly whirled his chair around, rasping on the floor, and faced his stepbrother. He thrust his hand into his capacious coat pocket, and brought out a pipe which he proceeded to fill from a skin of tobacco. "Well, hi," said he, "do you see I've come back home again?" "Thought he was dead," said Hiram, dully. Levi laughed, then he drew a red-hot coal out of the fire, put it up on the bowl of the pipe, and began puffing out clouds of pungent smoke. "Nay, nay," said he, "not dead. Not dead by odds. Puff by the eternal holy, I played many a close game puff with old Davy Jones, for all that." Hiram's look turned inquiringly toward the jagged scar and Levi caught the slow glance. "You're looking at this," said he, running his finger down the crooked seam. "That looks bad, but it wasn't so close as this dash dash," laying his hand for a moment upon the livid stain. "A coolie devil off Singapore gave me that cut when we fell foul of an opium junk in the China Sea 4 years ago last September. This, touching the disfiguring blue patch again, was a closer miss, A Spanish captain fired a pistol at me down off Santa Catarina. He was so nigh that the powder went under the skin, and it'll never come out again. His eyes, he had better have fired the pistol into his own head that morning. But never mind that. He took his pipe out of his mouth and looked inquiringly at Hiram, who nodded. Levi laughed. "Devil doubt it," said he, "but whether I'm changed or no, I'll take my affidavy that you are the same old half-witted H.I. that you used to be. I remember Dad used to say that you hadn't no more than enough wits to keep you out of the rain. And, talking of Dad, I heard tell he's been dead now he's 9 years gone. Do you know what I've come home for?" Hiram shook his head. "I've come for that £500 that Dad left me when he died, for I heard tell of that too." Hiram sat quite still for a second or two, and then he said, "I put that money out to venture and lost it all." Levi's face fell, and he took his pipe out of his mouth, regarding Hiram sharply and keenly. "What do you mean? I thought he was dead, and I put £700 into Nancy Lee dash dash and Blueskin burned her off Curdick," repeated Levi. Seemed to break upon his comprehension. "Burned by Blueskin," repeated, and thereupon flung himself back in his chair, and burst into a short, boisterous fit of laughter. "Well, by the holy eternal, if that isn't a piece of eternal luck. Burned by Blueskin, was it?" He paused for a moment, as though turning it over in his mind. Then he laughed again. "Same," said he presently, "do you see, I can't suffer for Blueskin's doings. The money was willed to me, fair and true, and you have got to pay it, Hiram White, burn or sink, Blueskin or no Blueskin." Again he puffed for a moment or two in reflective silence. "All the same, said he, once more resuming the thread of talk, "I don't reckon to be too hard on you. You be only half-witted, anyway, and I shan't be too hard on you. I give you a month to raise that money, and while you're doing it, I'll just hang around here. I've been in trouble, do you see? I'm under a cloud, and so I want to keep here, as quiet as may be. I'll tell you how it came about. I had a set-to with a land pirate in Philadelphia, and somebody got hurt. That's the reason I'm here now, and don't you say anything about it. Do you understand? Hiram opened his lips, as though it was his intent to answer, then seemed to think better of it, and contented himself by nodding his head. That Thursday night was the first for a 6 month that Hiram White did not scrape his feet clean at Billy Martin's doorstep. The Book of Pirates.